Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
Always locked on heat. Biscayne, South Beach. Goldberg and Ramil. Talking heat, body chill. Got the stats in the news. Got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Bo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on heat. Got it locked.
Locked on Heat hosts, Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked on Heat, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil. Actually, I shouldn't even say as always because I feel like we haven't talked in a week since the last mailbag, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, the season started and we were covering respective games. You had your Q&A with Justice Winslow. I had my recap of game one. We've had a busy week going on.
Yeah, but we're finally back together talking about the Heat. This is exciting.
Absolutely.
So, of course, it's Monday, so we're recording this on Sunday, but for you listening, it's Monday. So we've got a mailbag for you, but we got to talk about the first two games because we really haven't talked about it yet. So the Miami Heat lose the first game this season against Orlando Magic. They beat the Pacers in the home opener in the second game of the season. So the Heat now 1-1. David, what was your one takeaway from the first two games?
Hassan Whiteside will be the leading three-point shooter in the NBA.
He's 100%.
Yes, he is 100%. One of one. Honestly, I think that James Johnson is a much bigger part of the offense than I would have assumed. He's leading the team with 8 assists per game. And you saw a noticeable drop-off in the flow of the offense when he went out of game one, and Miami just seemed to kind of struggle to find any kind of playmaking consistency. He got into early foul trouble. That impacted his overall impact on the game. Mm-hmm. And then in game two, when he was there at full strength, clearly, you know, starting, obviously, with the shift in lineup, and it just he looked so much more smooth and in control of the offense. I think we had looked for him to make a leap as a shooter. But again, if he's going to be able to make another leap as a playmaker as well, we'll certainly take that. What was your takeaway from the first two games?
Well, just to jump on the James Johnson thing there, he's a plus 4.5 points. So the Heat are outscoring their opponents 4.5 points per game when James Johnson is on the floor through the first two games, small sample size, etc. But that's huge, right? Because we were talking about in the preseason that James Johnson didn't play well. And when we were asked a lot of questions, a lot of time in these mailbags about who should be the starting power forward, one of the things that I wanted to see was what the team looked like when James Johnson was playing well, when he was starting at power forward, because we didn't see that in the preseason. No, he didn't play well coming off the bench or starting during those first two games. So in these first two games, he seems to have flipped the switch, and he came off the bench in the first game, started in the second game, and I've been impressed with him. So yeah, 8 assists a game, like you said, which is great. My takeaway is just the changes in the lineups. Now, there's some things that kind of happened that forced Spo's hands when it came to switching the lineups. Roddy Magruder, of course, got injured right before, or had, you know, a surgery right before the start of the regular season. He's going to be out for several months, so that puts a wrench into the starting lineup. Whiteside only played the first game. He missed the second game against Indiana, so that forced Eric Spoelstra to really change up his lineups, but what to me was interesting was just the different roles that different players played in both games. To me, it still feels like it's preseason with a lot of experimenting happening. I mean, Justice Winslow came off the bench as a point guard, basically, in the first game against the Orlando Magic, as you talked a lot about that in your recap of that game. He came off the bench for Goran Dragic. In the second game, he came off the bench for James Johnson. He was the starting. He came in as the backup power forward, and he was playing forward for most of the game. So that was interesting, and you wouldn't think that Whiteside missing a game would make Winslow change roles, but he really did. And it was Josh Richardson who was really the backup point guard in that second game. Without Whiteside, instead of just playing Bam Adebayo or even Kelly Olynyk at center, Spoelstra went with Jordan Mickey. And Olynyk, you'd think, well, you could keep Olynyk at the starting power forward spot. Nope. Olynyk went to the bench. And James Johnson got the starting power forward spot. You know, they never went small against Orlando. They went small for most of the game against Indiana. So there's been a lot of experimenting still for Eric Spoelstra, and that's fine. You know, we're only two games in the season. The Heat are 1-1. I still think that they should have won that Orlando game. I really think the reason they lost to the Magic was because they only made 8 of their 33-point shots, which is going to happen at times when you're a three-point shooting team like Miami, but I expect them to be better than that. So it's weird that there's so much experimenting going on, even though there are things that force some lineup changes, but it to me, just the degree of experimenting that's happening is still a little strange, right? But strange.
He's experimenting, and that's fair. I mean, you want to find out what lineups have chemistry, if players play better playing off of each other. But you don't know that James Johnson and Tyler Johnson form this really interesting duo off the bench unless you bring them into certain lineups and figure out that they have this chemistry, you know, and which is what he did last season. So he's trying to figure out with this team that has more depth and versatility maybe than a lot of people expected or that we certainly added to over the offseason. All of a sudden, he wants to find out what lineups work best and you know, if there's players that play best off each other. And it's interesting. Jordan Mickey, that was a monkey wrench that I don't think anybody expected there.
That was surprising,
But, you know, he's still gone 11 deep. I think the only few players that haven't actually gotten some playing time are Okoro White and Udonis Haslem. Obviously, yeah. Magruder hasn't gotten any playing time. You know, Matt Williams and Derek Walton Jr. haven't either. But of the players that we expect to get some minutes here and there, those are the two most glaring cases. So it's interesting.
Yeah, 11 players have played so far. Really quick, buying tickets to sports and concerts used to be complicated. Just like the Miami Heat's lineups and rotations, it's complicated. There's a better and simpler way to buy now, though, and that's with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get the tickets to the live events that you want to go to. Their seamless mobile experience helps you buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing the Miami Heat or your favorite band in person, and SeatGeek will help you get closer to the action for a great value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats to anything that I want to see. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. They save you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed so you can shop with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off of their first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is go download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LONBA, that's promo code LONBA, and you'll get $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. So make sure you're using SeatGeek this year to go see the Miami Heat in person. This is a fun year.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into the mailbag. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
So our first question comes from Marcus Bonaparte. Do you think a future starting backcourt of Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson would work? And if so, should the Heat consider trading Goran Dragic and Dion Waiters? Love both of them, but with Dragic's age and Waiters' ankle, it might be best to sell high. What do you think, David?
Well, at the surface, I think, yes, it does work. We've seen Winslow as a point guard. Jay Rich has enough ball handling and shooting, I think, to kind of make that a complementary role off of Winslow. And we both expect Winslow to take a leap as far as his overall offense is concerned, despite some prognostications that may have come from certain co-hosts in the past. But anyway, I think that the duo does work. But my question is, why? Why would you explore that? To me, you know, one of the things that makes this team the strongest is because without any clear superstar, they have incredible depth and versatility across the board. And so having Dragic and Waiters on the roster and then having Winslow and Richardson there as potential backups makes this team a stronger overall unit. I don't know that you're going to get much in return value for either Goran or Dion Waiters. you'd probably have to package them with draft picks that we don't have, or with another player, say Hassan Whiteside, that might have increasing upside or increasing up, you know, impact if you move them to a team today. So I mean, we're looking for a team that maybe has a glaring hole at center and could take on the contract of either Dragic or Waiters. There aren't many teams like that, and no teams that are going to be sending a potential superstar our way. I know we've made several, you know, potential trades, fake hypothetical trades to Portland for CJ McCollum and stuff like that, but those seem very difficult to pull off, and I don't know that we have anything much to offer. So, yes, it works. I don't know that you're going to be able to get much in return for Goran Dragic and Dion Waiters, so why not just hang on to them and continue to build on that versatility and depth that is such a key factor of Miami's success this season?
I think if the Heat wanted to trade Dragic, I think they can get quite a bit for him. Depending on the team, I think like the Denver Nuggets are a team that seems like they might be interested. You know, you've got Nikola Jokic there. They might be hoping to get into the playoffs sooner rather than later. So you get a guy like Dragic, you can kind of show somebody like Jamal Murray the ropes a little bit while they develop him. But it's not going to be as easy as just trading them, like you're saying. It would have to be the right team at the right time. I think a guy like Dion Waiters, you could trade to a team that needs some bench scoring, but you're not going to get the value that you'd probably have of just keeping Dion Waiters, regardless of his injury issues. So, look, I think we've talked a lot about Justice Winslow playing point guard, and in my Q&A with him, he talked about, you know, he played point guard at AAU. It was something that he did early on when he was just coming up. He didn't do it a whole lot at Duke, but he's done it a lot in Miami already. We've seen it in the first game. He was playing backup point guard, essentially. It's something that's in his wheelhouse. And by the way, I told people that I would tell them where they could find the Q&A after I published it, because I didn't know where I was going to put it. It's on Fansided for their prestige NBA blog, The Step Back, which David and I both write a lot for. And it's over there if you want to go read it. It's really good. He was candid. He was awesome. I wish I could have published the whole thing as a podcast, but unfortunately the audio sucked, so I couldn't. But it's over there, and he says a lot of really interesting things about playing point guard. And he likes to do it. He likes to put the ball in his hands, especially because he knows he's not the best catch and shoot guy. He feels like he can make a bigger impact offensively when the ball is in his hands and he can get his teammates involved. And that's absolutely true. And that's why we say a lot of times, Winslow might be a point guard. That said, he's not so much a point guard that you would trade Dion Waiters and Goran Dragic to get him there. You know what I mean? He's not that great of a point guard that you would get rid of, that you would jettison those guys, because they're both better point guards right now than Justice Winslow is. So could it happen in the future? 100%. But it wouldn't be something that if I were the Heat, and if I were Pat Riley and Andy Ellsberg and Eric Spoelstra building the team, it's not something that I would plan for, right? If it was like kind of freak accident happened, or somebody calls and offers, you know, the mother load for Goran Dragic or Dion Waiters, and then that forces you to play Winslow at point guard or something like that, that's just an option down the line. But Winslow isn't good enough as a point guard that I would just trade those guys in order to get him there as the starting point guard. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking about it. You know, what team could probably use some impact at shooting guard? That's the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, 100%. Right?
They could use a guy like Dion Waiters there.
Maybe trade him for Dwayne Wade, since that's not really working out after two games?
No.
I was also thinking San Antonio. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Dion with Coach Popovich.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd thrive there.
All right, let's go on to the next question here. This is from Chris Leach. Is Winslow basically at the same place where Dion Waiters was at the beginning of last year? Dion was coming off of an injury in the second half and struggled shooting and finishing at times, but somehow made winning plays and racked up the assists. What do you think?
Tough to say, right? I mean,
it's similar. Possibly. It's similar-ish.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a little bit of lag there. I mean, he's got to make that adjustment, and we both anticipate that he's going to be able to make it as the season progresses. Maybe not nearly as quickly as some people would like, but, you know, it takes some time to get into that comfort, that rhythm, that pace that we expect him to be able to play at. And let's be honest, he's probably looked much better as the playmaker that we had either of us had anticipated. He looked very smooth running that point position. Yeah. He's looked to get guys going on offense. He's made some really comfortable drives to the basket. Unfortunately, just some of those haven't fallen. But he's even looked comfortable shooting in rhythm, I think. Like, he had a catch-and-shoot opportunity from the corner, I think in game one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And he rose up, knocked it down really smoothly. No hesitation. And I want to point out that both him and Richardson both have looked very comfortable shooting. Yeah. Neither of them have shown any kind of hesitation that we've seen from both of them in the past. You know, Richardson in particular has always had that moment where he kind of hangs on to it, decides whether or not he wants to unload, misses the shot, and then all of a sudden berates himself for it. He hasn't done that this season. I've been impressed with his confidence level. It's much more bang, bang. Yeah. You know, he catches it, unloads immediately, and I think Winslow's the same way. So
he had a nice turnaround jumper in Indiana, against Indiana.
Winslow did. Yeah, Winslow did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cooper Moorhead of the Miami Heat pointed out that he has never seen that shot from him before.
Yeah, it was jarring. No, I've never seen it.
In his rookie season, I could have sworn he did something like that. It was very Wade-esque, that's for sure.
It was. Quick reminder to make sure that you subscribed to the Locked On NBA channel. That's where you can find all of your favorite Locked On NBA podcasts in one podcast feed, so you don't have to go looking for all of them. You should be, our recommendation here, subscribe to Locked On Heat, so you've got that set aside. You're ready to go to listen to all your Miami Heat stuff. And then subscribe to the Locked On NBA channel. That way you can go ahead and scout the opponents. Listen to the last couple pods of the Hawks, you know, the next team that the Heat play. And you can kind of do it that way. Also, major announcement on the Locked On Heat front. LockedOnHeat.com is officially a thing. It is officially launched. That's where you can find, of course, the podcast, right? We're going to have a post for every podcast up on LockedOnHeat.com. And David and I will be writing there. You've seen David and I's writing in several places before. Now that will be a place where we are going to be able to write about the Heat. We're still not sure the extent of the coverage that we'll have, but we're just it's brand new for us. It's brand new for you. We're really excited to have it. But you know that if you like David's writing, if you like my writing, it will be there. It will be about the Miami Heat. So you can listen to us talk about the Miami Heat. You can read us write about the Miami Heat. It's all Miami Heat, everything. LockedOnHeat.com. Really excited.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Your go-to site for all things Miami Heat related. It's going to be perfect. I'm so excited about this opportunity. I rarely get jazzed up about things like this. But the fact that our podcast that we've been so successful with over the past year is going to be available to everybody on one site, plus our beautiful, wonderful words available for everybody to read. That's just, I mean, that's what a bargain. I mean, that's almost like the SeatGeek of websites, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Especially when I have my rankings of Josh Richardson's hairstyles at some point this season.
Maybe, I know which one comes
in
last.
Maybe in January, February, when it's a little slow.
Right before the All-Star break.
Right, exactly.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
All right, let's get on with our next
question. Well, you never added your
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're that. Right. I think the major difference between where Justice Winslow is now and where Deion Waiters was coming off of last season was that Deion had a proven history of being able to score. If nothing else, he had a proven history of being able to score sometimes, right? And,
sure.
And that's something that Justice Winslow doesn't have. Deion Waiters, really, he kind of came along in that last year, in that one playoff series when he was playing for the Thunder against the Spurs. He came on as a defensive presence. That was the one thing, the one time he really proved himself to be a solid defensive player. And he's been tremendous defensively since entering Miami. I was actually really impressed with him, David, when in Miami's game against Indiana. Deion Waiters often got switched under the rim. And I know Indiana plays small, but he would get switched under the rim against a guy like Domantas Sabonis or whatever other players that they were, Thaddeus Young, whoever it might be, in their front court. And he played good defense against them. He got his hands up. He didn't give up too much ground. I was really impressed with him on those switches. He's really versatile.
I will point out, though, that was a pretty far cry from what we saw in Game 1. Like, I was not impressed with Miami's defense in Game 1.
No, the whole team was bad defensively in Game 1.
Yeah. And I think he was part of the problem. Pick-and-roll situations between him. I mean, Evan Fournier was killing Dion.
Yeah.
Nikola Vucevic, who's been on fire, was killing Hassan Whiteside. So it was a pretty bad matchup for both of them. And I'm not sure if you know, Dion had some injury issue, or if, you know, he rolled his ankle, or he was just uncomfortable with the whole defense or pick and roll situation. But he did not guard it the way that we expected him to, nor the way he did in game two. So you're right, he made some improvement in game two, but that was, you know, he couldn't get any worse than what he was in game one.
Let's say. Game one, there was something in the water in game one, right? Like, just there, nobody on the Heat played well in that game.
I have to say, I think Orlando's better than we might have anticipated them.
Yeah, they played. They throttled the Cavaliers, right?
They did. I mean, that's that. A little bit of that is Dwayne Wade sucking and the Cleveland Cavaliers defense sucking.
Yeah.
But they played well against a scrappy Brooklyn Nets team, yep. And I think they're going to be a serious playoff contender, to be honest with you.
Huh. All right. So, okay, let's get
let's
on
to the next question.
Yeah, I think so. From Pedro, whose Twitter handle is @pizza_91. So we've all got our passions, right? And
yeah, pizza. That's as good as any. I mean,
yeah, it's right up there with top passion options. Waiters has to sit for as long as he needs to get the surgery, whatever. If it's not better now, it's not going to get better during the season. And without his peak athleticism, he's not the guy we need him to be. So there's no point in having him out there. He's got to be healthy.
And maybe this question came, you know, reasonably so, after that game one performance, like we were talking about it, you know. He looked a little rusty, a little shaky there, but then in game two, him and Goran Dragic both bounced back offensively. I think he finished at the rim at a higher level. He was knocking down his jumper. I think his shooting is still a little bit off. I can't exactly recall what Dion's – yeah, he's only shooting 25% from three-point range, you know, averaging six attempts during two games, so – he's still struggling from behind the line. Hopefully that number picks up a little.
Yeah, that'll regress back to the mean or whatever. Look, I just – the Heat, historically, or at least in the last couple of years, they've seemed to be very cautious, right, with these sort of things. Justice Winslow, of course, had a shoulder injury. They had him, they made him have surgery, and he sat out the whole – almost the entire season. Rodney Magruder, right before the regular season started, who was slated to be the starting small forward, they made him get surgery. He's going to be out for several months. So they tend to be pretty cautious with these things. I think that Dion Waiters, I think that it's being overblown by the media a little bit. He came out this weekend and said, he basically told reporters, I'm kind of sick of just talking about it. I feel fine. Yeah. And that's partly Waiters' fault, I think, is because his initial comment about it was that it was bothering him, right? And anytime you say it's bothering me, it's bothering me, it's probably going to be an issue throughout the season. That was his comment initially, I think, about the injury. So it snowballed from there. But it does sound like Waiters was kind of maybe walking it back a little bit and saying it's not a big issue. I'm sick of talking about it. And look, I trust him and I trust the Heat. If it was an issue, I don't see any reason why Miami, given that the depth of wings that they have, even with Magruder out, I just don't see the reason why they would risk it, especially early on in the season. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not. I you can be worried about it. I'm not worried about it because there's no point, right? If it was an issue, I think the Heat would take action.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If it was as severe as Pedro and others might theorize that it would require surgery, I think Miami and Dion both would be the first to say, you know what, time to kind of shut it down. Because I think Dion is looking not just at the next 4 years of this deal, but the 4 years after that. I mean, we're looking at a long career potentially for him. You don't want to impact with nagging ankle injuries throughout the season or throughout the rest of your career. And I think when he answers these kinds of questions, I mean, a lot of fans, you know, you and I both cover teams. We've talked to players in the past. There are just nuances of interacting with players and dealing with the media from the player's perspective that just don't come through there. You hear the words, you hear the sound bites, and you get hung up on those. But look, he struggles a little bit, and he's got to make up some kind of excuse because, you know, what's the other alternative to say, I suck? You know, right after Miami signed you to a $60 million deal, that's not something that a player is comfortable with. So you say, you know what, my ankle's bothering me a little bit. Next thing you know, people start tying 2 and 4 together and coming up with 11-5. And it's like, it doesn't make sense, you know, to think about the nagging ankle injury and saying this is a player who's going to fall apart. or anything like that. And then, you know, conversely, once you bring up the ankle injury again and again and again and again, then all of a sudden that gets annoying and he's got to say, look, just let's put a kibosh on this. I don't want to deal with these kind of questions anymore. It's time to move on. I'm going to have – he's look, it's Deion Waiters. He's going to have bad games. He's going to have great games. Yeah. And hopefully he'll have more of the latter.
He looked great against Indiana. I was so impressed with him. He looked fantastic. So you,
Oladipo's not a slacker as a defender either.
Of course, he's not. Got his moments. Yeah. Yeah. So if you had, I've got a question for you. It's not in our mailbag. If you had to change your Twitter handle to a food, an underscore, and a number, I know what the number is going to be because you already have a number in your Twitter handle. So what would your food be if you had to? What would your food be in your Twitter handle?
Sushi pancake 13.
Sushi pancake.
Yep, that's why not. Two of my faves, sushi and pancake.
Oh, I thought you were talking about there was a thing in Gainesville that's a sushi pancake. I am on the next flight to Gainesville.
No, unfortunately not. So I just combined two of my faves.
Interesting.
Yours? Wingstop?
Yeah, Wingstop. Wingstop 4. That would be it.
No, it should be Wingstop 10, right? Or how many times have you had them in a row?
Wingstop 10, yeah, 10 days in a row.
Yeah, Wingstop 10.
all right, last question comes from Sam Heaton. And so Sam Heaton, actually, he's had a couple of mailbag questions in the past. And I think on one of our mailbags, we said there's no way his last name is Heaton, right? Yes. And he responded and said, no, it is. And I think he sent us – I think it was him. But he sent us like a picture of his driver's license, right?
Yeah.
And it said – and damn sure it was Heaton on there. So, hey, man, like, good for you. I don't know. I think he changed his name. I'll still wait for the paperwork. I want the long form birth certificate to prove that he didn't change his name. But
I'm waiting for him to change his name from Sam Heaton to Sam Lockdown, and that's where he'll start getting those endorsement opportunities. He'll be our favorite listener once he changes his name to Sam Lockdown.
All right, so let's get to Sam Lockdown's question here. It doesn't make sense how trading Hassan Whiteside for DeMarcus Cousins, if he becomes available, isn't a hotter topic right now. Whiteside has all his potential, while Boogie is a legit star player right now, plus the potential of getting better with Heat culture. They seem to be the same dogged past as big men, but one is just way better. If you trade for Boogie, and at the end of the season it hasn't worked, you could just let him walk, and we actually have more cap space again, too. So, of course, we had the hypothetical trade. We had a comment either on Twitter or in our mailbag. I can't remember, but we should rename the hypothetical trade segment, find a place to trade Whiteside. So that's what it is. Let's trade Whiteside, our weekly mailbag segment. So apparently we're trading him to New Orleans for DeMarcus Cousins. Can I refer back to Zach Lowe's column at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The 32 crazy predictions.
Yeah, where Zach Lowe predicted, like, he thinks DeMarcus Cousins will get shopped, and he said his favorite trade is Whiteside for Cousins. And you got to throw in a couple contracts to make it work, but basically it's Whiteside for Cousins. And he would love to just predict that, even though he didn't quite commit to predicting it. He did mention it as his favorite fake trade going into the season. I think it makes a lot of sense. And there's also a comment by Jack McMullen, who on a podcast on one of the ESPN keeps renaming that podcast that they have. Like, it was used to be NBA Lockdown. Now it's called something else. I think like NBA Collective Podcast. They keep renaming it. But whatever it's called now, she, on a podcast last week, I think she made an offhand comment that the Heat had shopped Whiteside everywhere, that they had shopped Whiteside up and down the street. That was her comment.
Really?
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anything about that.
Yeah, because nobody listens to the podcast because nobody knows what it's called anymore. But I saw something about it on Twitter, and so I went and found it, and it's towards the end of the podcast. It's the one that Jack McMullen, Brian Windhorst, and a couple other people are on. If you want to go listen to it. The Hoop Collective, yeah. So
last Friday. They had a podcast last Friday about that. Okay.
Yeah, so I think it was the last 5 or 10 minutes or so that she talked about it. It was the one about the Eastern Conference. It was before the season started. So, she made that comment. Now, I don't know how plugged in Jackie McMullen is into what the Heat do, but she's one of the greatest NBA writers and / reporters of all time. So I don't think she would just flippantly say that. But then again, she might. I don't know. So that said, if that's the case, and if the Heat are open to trading Whiteside. And Zach Lowe has said that that's his favorite fake trade. And if Zach Lowe says it, he often says things with some background information. And if DeMarcus Cousins isn't working out next to Anthony Davis, I could see this maybe being on the table. What do you think?
I think it certainly works very well for New Orleans.
Yes.
I think part of the reason why they have Ajinka there and Omer Asik is that they've always wanted a rim-protecting shot blocker to play alongside a guy like Anthony Davis. But Whiteside obviously fits the bill to a T. For the Heat, I don't know anymore. I've waffled so much on Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
And there's no denying what Sam pointed out, that he has incredible talent. And as him and Zach Lowe both pointed out, for Miami, this might represent their last best opportunity to get an uber-talented player onto their roster. He would overnight become the face of the franchise. I just don't know that you want that to be the case anymore. I think Sacramento was a really bad situation. I think New Orleans is a pretty bad situation between injuries, bad fit, bad roster construction, and Alvin Gentry not necessarily being a legitimate head coaching option. I think it's just going to be more of the same inconsistency that already has kept Boogie Cousins locked somewhere in the dungeons of NBA purgatory. But I think obviously Miami represents an improved structure and culture that might be able to get the most of them. I think he might just be a lost cause at this point, though. So I'm not sure that he's necessary. I don't think he's ever going to get to that point where he's a stable, consistent presence.
Yeah. I've long been on the DeMarcus Cousins bandwagon. I've always.
Yeah, both you and I both. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, I cover the Sacramento Kings up close and I see the energy now that they have. They're not better without DeMarcus Cousins, but they're not worse, right? Which says a lot. He's arguably the best center in the NBA right now. He's one of the most versatile players in the NBA. I've never seen do the things he does. But I just, there's something about his presence that just doesn't work. And when he was traded away from Sacramento, when they finally decided to pull the plug on that, there was a tremendous energy about the team. There was just relief. And now they were able to move on. They've got De'Aaron Fox now, ostensibly seems like the new face of the franchise, who is just the opposite of DeMarcus Cousins in the locker room. Yes. Very friendly, gets everybody involved, he's in every huddle. There seems to be this energy post DeMarcus Cousins. There was just like, and while Cousins was there, people were walking on eggshells. The locker room after a win or a loss was just always somber and weird. And just like without wind in the sails, almost. It was very strange. He's got this weird presence about him. Now I don't know if that's also the case in New Orleans. I have no idea, right?
I can't imagine that it's not though. I mean, New Orleans has been dogged by rumors about really bad medical staff, ruining careers. You look at Eric Gordon, who left New Orleans and became practically an all-star in Houston. And I know a lot of that is the Houston roster construction, but I mean, New Orleans may not necessarily be the most well-functioning team. And I think that's going to add to the problems with Boogie. I just don't know that he's going to come. Look, Hassan Whiteside, we've been critical of him. And I think there are definitely issues there as far as his personality. And I don't think he's one-fourth the problem that Boogie is.
I agree with that. Yeah, it's not equal, right? All things are not equal. No. Both of them have Sam? That was our mailbag question from Sam,
yes.
Right? As Sam said, both have dogged pasts, right? It's not equal.
Yeah. I've seen Boogie and Cousins in person a couple of times. And one thing that's always stood out about him, from my perspective, is the guy does not shut up. He's constantly talking to himself, to anyone, mostly to himself. It's like he's just got to be heard. He's got to make his presence felt somehow. And it's not that he's necessarily a bad person. I think that's just part of his personality, being on bad teams. And he's just at a point now where he doesn't give a damn anymore because he's struggled so much. And it's difficult. And I don't know that that's necessarily going to turn around because, he's already in his mid-20s. I don't know that that's going to change. It's not all of a sudden going to go, I need to be quiet. I need to just listen and be a better teammate. Not that he's a bad person, but just not necessarily a good teammate. And I think that's important to consider, I mean, he's just not the kind of player who's going to make this team better. And whenever there's a bad situation, he's going to look to put blame on others. He's going to kind of get into a deep funk. And I don't think that that's – I think if anybody can help him, it's Spoelstra and Riley. but he has to want to help himself, and I just haven't seen any evidence that that part of him even exists.
So you're against this trade. You wouldn't do it.
I don't know. I don't know. I'd love for it to happen just so it could be a success story, but I'm so scared that it's not going to be a success, that it would be an abject failure. And yeah, I mean, Sam's point, well, they just let him slide. You can't just let him slide. You have to make every effort available to re-sign him for a long
Do you?
I mean, you're still going to have that. Don't you? You're going to have that cap hole there, or you're still going to be over the cap even if you don't have him. And then all of a sudden you have a glaring hole at center with Olynyk and Bam maybe to fill the void. But you promise all this money to Olynyk. You've got Bam on the roster. I don't know. To me, I think it's important to have that team on there. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe if you have Olynyk and Bam on the roster, maybe all of a sudden having either Whiteside or Cousins isn't as important. But I feel like the criticism nationally would be so severe. Or Miami could flip the script completely. They could say, look, this is just a guy we can't work with. If they are the aggressor in the sense that they put out there, look, we have no interest in re-signing DeMarcus, then that puts the onus completely on him. And as Zach had pointed out in his piece, apparently half the teams in the league have claimed at least that they won't touch Boogie with a 10-foot pole. And so you could add Miami to that list, and then all of a sudden that's a – look, for a team that has been historically known and regarded as one of the best at sacrifice – at building careers out of nothing and reclaiming players' careers and lives, if they can't work with DeMarcus Cousins, then nobody can.
Yeah, that would basically be the end of his career. But here's I don't know, somewhat of a twist. As much as I have doubts about it, I would do it. If
you're all about acquiring the stars, dude. You were all in on Kyrie Irving.
I was all in. And look, if you can get, like, the Heat just don't have many routes to make to get a star player. This is one of them. But also, you kind of work your way into not only being able to just, not only do you have the 1 year or half year experiment with DeMarcus Cousins, but you're also able to remove yourself from Hassan Whiteside. And I know we come off as Whiteside haters on this, but if the team functions better with Kelly Olynyk at center, or if you really want to get Bam some minutes, or if you want to play freaking Jordan Mickey at center, I don't know. If the Heat determine that they need to be small more often, and that they can't play Whiteside the way they do, and that you can't build a real contender with the way the team is currently constructed with Whiteside, just because it's not the right fit. Not anything against Whiteside, just it's a style of play against the style of play with guys like Dragic and Waiters. Then I could see a reason why you would try to sell Whiteside now for a guy who is more versatile. DeMarcus Cousins is not only, he's not a good three-point shooter for a big man, he's a good three-point shooter. And he's really good at passing the ball. He gets guys involved. I mean, in a vacuum, he does a lot of great things. On the court, he does a lot of great things. It's off the court that's the problem. And I could see them taking a flyer to try to get the on-the-court production. And that, to me, makes sense. And if it doesn't work out, you can renounce his cap hold so that you are able to create some cap space. It's not going to be a lot of cap space. It's only going to be, I think, $9 or $10 million in cap space. But it's cap space that the Heat otherwise wouldn't have. And it would also free up a role for Kelly Olynyk, who's signed to a long-term deal. Bam Adebayo, who hopefully is a long-term asset and a piece for this roster. And I would even try to get New Orleans to even throw in a draft pick. Or to take maybe Tyler Johnson or something like that, where you can really start accumulating either an asset or freeing up some major cap space in order to make a move next summer. If you can manage one of those two things while getting DeMarcus Cousins, I think it's a home run. I think you absolutely do it. And it's a rare case where the Heat might actually have the leverage to do that, because Cousins is on an expiring contract, and if the Pelicans are willing to trade him, it's obviously not working. So they're probably going to try to get anything that they can back for him. So I think I would do it. And I would hate to see Hassan Whiteside go. I know I come off as very critical of him, but he's one of my favorite players on the team. I think he's tremendously entertaining, even though he's as entertaining as he is frustrating, but I like having him. He's a great personality on the team, and he's fun to talk about. But if you can get a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, I think you got to try it. You know, and if you could do it in a way that kind of leaves you an out, it makes sense. Now, if Cousins had a 4-year contract, I wouldn't do Whiteside for Cousins straight up. I wouldn't do it. But because you have the out, I think it makes sense. Okay. All right. Anything else before we wrap this thing up?
No. Who did the Heat play next?
I think it's Atlanta. We should probably know that, right?
We should absolutely know that. I'm really disappointed in myself.
Oh, yeah, it's the Hawks. Okay.
Okay.
Monday night. So by the time you're listening to this, so we'll have a recap for that Monday night.
I'm curious to see Atlanta again. You know, the term scrappy, gritty gets tossed around a lot, but this is a team clearly that doesn't have a whole heck of a lot of talent there. I'm wondering what Mike Budenholzer can do with that team, if he can get them to another level.
Do they even want to go to another level this season?
I think he doesn't. I think he's from that same Coach Popovich mentality where he can't help but help get them to that next level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But even like, what is the next level from like worst team in the league to like third worst? Like they're bad. There's like nobody on that team. But that said, I'm saying all this, and the Heat, I'll jinx the Heat, and they'll lose, and that'll be my fault. But I'm interested to see what the Heat do with their lineups. Like we said at the top of the show, it's been an experimentation through the first two games. It'll be interesting to see what they do against Atlanta, a team that can go big or small. Great. So, all right. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. You can send mailbag questions for next week to lockedonheat@gmail.com or tweet them using the hashtag AskLOHeat. And remember, during the week, we are also taking Twitter questions and comments for our recaps. You can use that same hashtag AskLOHeat, or just, you know, tag me or David or the Locked On Heat Twitter account, and we'll try to get to your comments after the game when we're doing our recaps. Make sure that you subscribe to the show to get podcasts automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Check out LockedOnHeat.com. David and I are both going to have some content on there, more than just the podcast posts. We're going to have our coverage about the Heat throughout the season. Really excited about that. Theme song by CeeLo Keys. Outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
Got it, Wes.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop! At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.